Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we've gotten to that part where Paul's finished giving all those instructions and charges to the young pastor. And this last section of the fourth chapter, really just the closing remarks of the letter, this personal letter, in which Paul's remarking on personal things. And so he makes a request of Pastor Timothy. In verse 13, he says, "Bring the cloak," or a coat, "bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." When I was 17 years old, spent some of my money and bought this. Every male heart in the auditorium just jumped a beat right now when you saw that, didn't you? You know? And when I bought this Bowie knife, I did not tell my dad because I knew he would make fun of me if he knew I bought this thing. He found it, and he made fun of me, just like I knew that he would. And it's mostly a worthless knife. You know, it really is. You can't do a lot with this. Well, I've saved Naomi and her family communicate through email. Now, they used to do a lot more of it. And some of Naomi's emails I have saved. This was one of them that she wrote back in May of 2011. She wrote this email to her family. She said, "I have an incident that I've been intending to share. When David was in high school, he purchased a Bowie knife. It's large, about 14 inches long, heavy, and somehow appeals to most males, even though David admits it's almost useless. It's too big to maneuver, very heavy to carry, and really inappropriate in the general public. When men see this, they often say with all seriousness, 'I need one of those.' David has observed this also. Shortly after making this statement, men will then start to share ideas about what they will use it for. They are invariably preposterous excuses, such as, 'I could skin animals with it. I could use it when I'm fishing. I could cut wood with it.' Well, we were shopping for a knife sheath down in Arizona when this EMT, you know what an EMT is, an EMT walked by, turned around, came back to the Bowie knives and said, 'I need one of those.' He explained to his female partner that he could use it for cutting seat belts if it were trapping somebody in a car after an accident. I tried to imagine him carrying this knife and then whipping it out to cut somebody out of a car. Well, one day David was polishing his smaller knife, that would be this one, about 12 inches, which he bought because he admitted that the larger one was too large. Parentheses, he never uses the smaller one either. Slater saw it for the first time, walked over and said to him, 'I need one of those.' And so it begins. My 8-year-old will be saving and dreaming about the day when Daddy lets him get a Bowie knife. We shall see if he uses it to skin a grizzly or fell a giant redwood." Yeah. Have you noticed that so often the thing that we really want, we really don't need, while the thing that we really need, we really don't want? Why is that? That's something about human nature. It is a liberating feeling when the thing that you truly need is also the thing that you truly want, such as Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it's because Jesus Christ, who you need, at one point you decided you also want. Well, that's true of a lot of things that we have need for. And I think the Apostle Paul reached a point in his life, by the time he wrote these letters anyway, where his needs were also his wants. It's a wonderful feeling. And we see that here in this verse, verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So why don't we take a look at a couple things that we see. Number one, what we're going to see is that we Christians have temporal needs. Temporal, temporary. Needs that don't go beyond this life. Right? We have those. He mentions in verse 13, Carpus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Carpus is mentioned nowhere else in Scripture. Evidently, he was a brother who showed Paul some hospitality Paul stayed with him, and when Paul left, he left some things there. Why? Did he forget them? We do that sometimes. We travel a lot visiting family, and whenever we leave my parents' house, we always try to do a sweep of the house and see if anything's left lying around. As we're packing them, when we go out the door, my mom says, well, if I find anything, I'll mail it to you. And on occasion, we leave something. Is that what happened? The Apostle Paul just leaves some stuff lying around? Probably not, when you consider what these things were that he's asking for. It was probably one of those times when the Apostle Paul had to leave in a hurry. He had to do that from time to time. In that culture, the persecution could be severe, and his life was often on the line for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is probably one of those times. You know, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was lowered down a wall in a basket on the outside to escape the city because there were those who wanted to kill him. And in Acts 23, Paul's nephew revealed a plot he overheard to kill Paul, and it saved Paul's life. Staying alive in this body is a temporal need, isn't it? And there's no shame in doing so. There's no shame in that, in staying alive in this body. Paul didn't mind being a martyr, but there's a difference between martyrdom and suicide, isn't there? I had no problem stepping out of the way of an oncoming bus to save my life. We shouldn't feel guilty about that. It's a temporary life. We're not in this forever. And I don't see the sense in going to all costs to save this life. I'd rather not be hooked up to machines for years on end in the event of a tragic accident. But just for the everyday living, there's no harm in staying alive. More than once, the Apostle Paul asked to be delivered from evil men. He said in Romans 15:31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, he said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. See? He didn't do battle against those people. He just asked for God's way of escape. And there's no shame in doing so. It is a temporal need we have to stay alive in this body, right? That's, folks, God put that in you. God loves life. God created life. He loves life. That's why murder is wrong of the born and the unborn. Okay. So, to seek to sustain life is not a bad thing. It's a temporal need. For we Christians, at least, it's temporal, right? Okay? Because we understand what waits for us in the next life. But then he starts off by saying, bring the cloak or the coat. You notice he asked for a coat? Well, winter was coming. You see that later on in this letter. And jail cells where he was were not heated back then. It was going to get cold, and they did not have the creature comforts of home in those prisons. So he was seeking warmth. Warmth is a temporal need. Is there any shame in that? I hope not, considering where we live. There's no shame in putting on a coat. Now, it's true. A lot of the coats that we don't wear them just for the warmth, do we? We wear them because they look good. You know, that makes a lot of our decision when we put on coats in our culture and in this day and age. But in the Apostle Paul's case, he didn't really care what he looked like in this cloak. He needed to stay warm. And when it comes right down to it, that's really all we need too. When it gets really bad out there, it's something. When it gets down below zero and the wind chill drives it even lower, you know, you can't just run out in the mailbox in your PJs. I mean, really, you'll freeze your skin. Just going to get the mail is a bundle-up process, okay? And it's at those times you don't care. I remember going skiing with the youth group. This was years ago over at Toggenburg. And it was just one of those ridiculously cold days where we should not have been out skiing. You know, temperatures are in the single digits, and there you are flying down a hill, you know. And everybody, on the fashion statements were gone. everybody looked ridiculous. The things that we were wearing to stay, we looked like a bunch of bank robbers on the ski slopes out there. And nobody cared. Nobody cared at that point. They had a need to stay warm. And you have that need. And the Apostle Paul had that. And so he asked Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak that I left at Troas, at Carpus's house. Which means what? Timothy had to make a stop en route to visiting the Apostle Paul. Notice even this temporal act of picking up a coat was done in the name of ministry. Stopping to pick up a coat is a temporal, menial task, but it's still done in the name of the Lord. There's a lot of things we do that are we only have temporal value. But when done in the name of the Lord, folks, you glorify Christ in those tasks. You know that? It's a joy to do such things for the sake of the Lord and the Lord's people. It's amazing how many things go on behind the scenes in a ministry like ours here at Open Door Baptist Church that most people don't know about. When you wash your hands in the restrooms and grab a paper towel, you don't even think about it. Do you? Somebody had to put that paper towel there. You know, when the nursery has all kinds of supplies, those things don't just materialize. There's all kinds of things that go on around here that are temporal, menial tasks. But boy, they glorify the Lord. When I was a young man, my home church, Northwest Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, the way our church was supplied was by a man named Ed, who probably once every 3 or 4 months, he would take inventory of all the paper towels and soaps and everything in our church. It was a much smaller church in Open Door. And he'd make a list, and it was time to make a run. Well, he didn't have a truck. I did. He asked me if I would go with him. And we had an account with what was called the Price Club. It's kind of like a Costco or a Sam's Club. It's called the Price Club, and that's where he went. And I had a truck, so every 3 or 4 months, he and I would go together, and I would help him load up carts full of church supplies and load them in the truck, take them back to the church, and unload all of that stuff. And that was just a good time with Ed. That's the only time that, you know, I wouldn't have gotten to know him as well as I did had it not been for those times. A menial task, and nobody else really knew that we did. They just knew there was paper towels when they needed them. But it was for the Lord's work. That's important stuff, Lord. That the Lord gives you. It's important stuff to do the Lord's work, even if nobody else knows about it. And so picking up a coat, making a stop, seems like no big deal to us, but I tell you, the Apostle Paul sure would have appreciated it. Sure would have appreciated it. And you know, the Apostle Paul was not afraid to ask for help. He did that. And I think we Christians, we let our pride get in the way, and we don't ask for help when it comes to the temporal needs we have in our life. Why not? Apostle Paul had more reason than us to stand tall and be proud, but he wasn't. He was humble. He said, I'm going to get cold. Will you get my coat that I left at Carpus's house? I'd appreciate that. No shame in that. No shame in that at all. So yeah, we Christians, we do have temporal needs. Let's not be ashamed of it. Okay? Let's try to hide that. Temporal needs. Let's just glorify the Lord in how we meet those needs. That's all. But then he asked for something else. Did you notice? He says, and the books, especially the parchments. And what you're going to see here is number two, the scriptures meet our spiritual need, which is growth. We as Christians have a spiritual need to grow. You see, once you accept the Lord as your Savior, it's not game over, all done. No. Salvation is not when things end, folks. Salvation is when things begin. That's when it gets started, right? Now, there's growth to follow, and the scriptures meet that. So he asked Timothy, pick up the books, for one. You know what the word books is in the Greek language? Biblios. Biblios is where we get the word Bible. Okay, the Bible is one book that is what? A collection of books. And so he says, pick up the books. Now, these probably would not have been little books. With a binder, not like that. What they probably were sheets of paper. that would have had portions of the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament was being written at the time Paul wrote this. He didn't have the New Testament yet. He had the Old Testament, but he didn't have probably the whole Old Testament. He had portions of it. And just it would have been just portions of books of the Old Testament. He maybe had sections of Isaiah or some of the Psalms on these little pieces of paper. And he says, bring the books, especially the parchments. Now, what were those? Parchments were not paper. They were actually animal skins, leather, real thin leather that would have been rolled into scrolls. Those would have really been valuable because it was much more durable than pieces of paper. You know, leather can handle the abuse that it gets. And it would have been bigger than his pieces of paper. The parchments would have been large scrolls. He might have had entire books on those scrolls. He might have had all of the writing of Ezekiel. He may have had all the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, on parchments. So he definitely wanted those for sure. Okay? And again, he wouldn't have had the whole Old Testament, but he would have had a whole lot of it. Now, I find it fascinating that even in his last days, when Paul knew he was going to be facing death very soon, that man still wanted to study God's word. He wasn't done. This means that spiritual growth never ends. As long as you have breath, you have the opportunity to grow in your Savior. And just because you can't do the things you used to as you get older, you're still not done growing spiritually. That's the joy about growing spiritually. It takes place when physically you're way over that hill. But the spiritual hill, there's always more to see over the next rise. There's always more to grow in this walk with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul knew that. So he said, bring those books, man. I'm not done studying. And he was studying scriptures that he'd already read. Probably several times. And he still wanted to study them more. Huh. That means you never cap out in the scriptures. I had a professor. Some of you may remember him, Dr. Robert Delaney. He preached here probably about 15 years ago. And he's told us he never preached the same message twice. This guy's an incredible preacher. He wrote the book Fire in Your Pulpit. It's on my shelf. It's a preaching book, and how to preach. And he was an incredible preacher. He never preached the same message twice. What he was saying was, when he wrote a sermon, wrote out his notes like this one here, once he preached it, that was it. He wouldn't go back and pull that sermon again. If he was going through 2 Timothy a second time, maybe in another church or something like that, he'd start fresh. He would not pull his old notes out. He would just start over to see what else God was going to reveal to him. Folks, that takes a lot of willpower to do that. When you've already put so much effort into the sermon on this text, and it's sitting in your file cabinet or on your computer, you're going to preach it again? Why not just pull it? Save you some work, right? He didn't do that. Huh? There's a man who's still alive, by the way, and I have no doubts, still studying God's word to see what it's going to bring him today. This guy has read the Bible more times than most, and still studying. That's what the Apostle Paul did. It's easy in our culture to take the word for granted, isn't it? I know. If you don't have a Bible and you visit Open Door Baptist Church, there's one in front of you, in there. And if you want to go home with the Bible, we offer them for free. We pick up Bibles like this, and we don't carry the cheap ones, those fake leather that gets hard and brittle and breaks away. We get the leather soft type, you know. These are really nice giveaway Bibles, and we go through a lot of these. Every year we pick up several of these and resupply back there in the visitor center. And we go through a lot. We have some that are geared towards little kids. We have some that are geared more towards the masculine, maybe with browns. Then we have some purples and pinks. But we got free Bibles, okay? You can get one. If you go to a hotel, you open up the nightstand, there's a Gideon Bible. That is a Bible put out by the Gideons that they give to the hotels to put in the nightstands. And you can take that Bible from that hotel guilt-free. That's what the Gideons want you to do. And then they just constantly resupply. Of course, sadly, many hotels are disallowing this in this day and age. The very Word of God, in its entirety, sits on the shelf at Walmart for anyone to buy. Cheap. The Word of God. You imagine that? You imagine the clerks and the employees at Walmart that walk right by the written, complete Word of God. They don't even know it. They don't even know what it is. That's incredible to me. It's just everywhere the Scriptures are in our country. And so we get really used to it and take it for granted. Folks, it's just not so in other countries. It's not like that. Sue gave me a video to watch called The Insanity of God, just about those who have been persecuted for their faith in Christ in other parts of the world and what they've gone through, things that we don't go through. One was a Russian preacher. He was imprisoned and beaten regularly by the KGB. Of course, he didn't have his Bible. They wouldn't give him his Bible. So what he would do, if he could find any scraps of paper or trash in the prison yard and a piece of charcoal, what he would do is he would write Bible verses from memory, write them out. He would post them in his prison, and he would write out Bible accounts to the best of his memory and recollection, like the account of Joseph, okay, or Moses on Mount Sinai, what all happened there, and he'd write that out, and he'd post that in his prison cell, and then, of course, the guards would find these pieces of scripture in these accounts, and they'd take them and beat them for it. What if you were imprisoned for whatever reason and not allowed to have a Bible? Could you do that? How many Bible verses could you write out from memory? How many accounts of Scripture could you write out accurately? How accurate is your recollection of the story of Jonah or Noah and the flood? Okay. You think you'd get the order right? How about the 6 days of creation? If you haven't memorized Genesis 1 and 2, could you at least put the order of it if you had to, if the Word of God was taken from you? Yeah. That can challenge us, can it? Get into the Word, man, because we have access to this stuff. We have all the Word of God, and no one is threatening to break down our doors and arrest us for possessing the Word of God. We ought not feel guilty about that. We ought to be thankful for it and make the most out of it. I have tools of the trade. Every trade has tools. Of course, you don't have to be a pastor to use these tools. But tools to help in the study and understanding of Scripture. By the way, this is old school, having books. Now, a lot of pastors have all these tools on computer and software. I still flip through pages. I have... First of all, I have, for studying the New Testament, I have a Greek New Testament. Okay, this is the entire New Testament, all in Greek. Okay? So you can look up, it's all in order in which our Bible is, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay? And you can look it all up in the Greek language. Right? So you want to look up Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 or 22. Kai esesto mi esmeto upo peton dia di osama. Ask Pastor Paul what that means, okay? Because he did great in Greek class. Okay? You can do that. And then I have the New Testament Word Dictionary. So all the words used in the New Testament, in English now, this is a dictionary. So you can do word studies. For the Old Testament, that's Hebrew, this is actually one of a two-part dictionary, because the Old Testament is so thick, there's so many words, that this is a two-volume dictionary of Old Testament words. Look up any word in the Old Testament. You can find it in here. It will give you not only the it will give you the Hebrew spelling of that word and the way it's used in the Old Testament. I also have... Again, this is for the New Testament. This is a Greek lexicon that breaks down all the Greek words and how they're used and their meaning and definition. I also have an interlinear. This is a four-volume set. An interlinear Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the English and the original language right next to each other. So you got the English on top and the original language underneath, but it's in the order of the original language. So you can see how the words are placed. So when you do that, it looks very different. The English words are different in the order that they're put in versus other language. So, for instance, here in Joshua 6:18, it is written in the Hebrew order with the English equivalent words next to it, and it says, "The of keep you, and sent we that messengers the thing devoted clear certainly." So you got to jumble all that around so it makes sense in English, but in Hebrew, that makes perfect sense. See, so I have tools like this and many more that are just tools to help understand the scriptures, right? That's what I use those for. Now, if I was told that I could either have the Bible or the tools about the Bible, but not both, I better pick one. That'd be a simple choice for me, folks. I'll take the Word of God, because these tools are not living. This is a living Word. And even without all these tools, man, I can read the Bible every day and study it for myself and read it, and God will talk to me. And I can read the same words all my life, and every time God will have something else to say. Even through passages that I've read many, many times. Pastor Keim did not open to an unfamiliar, vague passage this morning, did he? John chapter 3? Come on, man. Most people can quote most of John chapter 3. But didn't he just bring alive what it is to be born again? See, that's the Word of God talking to you. Give me the Word any day over any other document, because only the Word is living. The Word of God is a need. It's absolutely a need. You say you don't necessarily want it. That's often the case. Listen, the more you meet the need of the Word, the more you'll want it. How do you meet the need? Well, you think I'm going to say read it, don't you? No. You pursue the Word of God. You pursue the Word of God. You see, to say just read it, you might just read it and it means nothing to you. I mean, have you ever read a whole page of something and walked away and said, I have no idea what I just read? People do this every day with the Word of God. Got to get up and do my devotions, read a whole chapter out of the New Testament and walk away with you. I can't even remember what I read. I have no idea. Right? All you did is check it off your list. No, no, no. If you really want to meet the need you have for the Word of God, don't just read it. Man, pursue it. Oh, it entails reading, but it's more than reading. Man, it's studying. It's studying. Instead of so much emphasis of trying to get through the Bible in a year, why don't you make sure the Word of God gets through you at least today? Just read something and study what you read. And studying means studying on your own. It also means doing really what you're doing right now. Show up at church. Be prepared to study the Word of God. Seeing its truths, dive into it during the Sunday school hour, during Wednesday night devotions, during the sermons. Let's study it. What does God have to say? He's talking to you. And then, obey it. You're not truly pursuing the Word of God until you are living the Word of God. The Apostle Paul did that, didn't he? Why did he want to study the Scriptures? So he could live the Scriptures, and he did. Sitting there in prison, ready to die, and yet in complete faith, standing on the truth of God's word. Folks, he lived what he preached. He said we weren't called to a life of fear in Jesus Christ, are we? Hardly. Called to a life of courage because of him. We definitely see that courage in his life right to the very end. He obeyed the word of God. You can too. So that's what it is to pursue God's word. It's to study it. It's to obey it. And I tell you, the more you do that, the more you'll want it. You will want this. I tell you, young people, you'll come to a point, and it won't take that long, that you will find such comfort in having the scriptures with you. You'll find a comfort in the familiarity of passages that you've been reading since you were a little kid. Some of you young people are going to go away to school, to maybe the military, or who knows what. But you're gonna leave some really familiar surroundings. And when you do that, you're going to have moments of extreme loneliness. Maybe some maybe a bad case of homesickness. But when you want the scriptures, you will open the Bible no matter where you are in this world, and you will find comfort and joy in saying, I want this, because no matter where I'm at, I find comfort in God's word. Yes, that's the joy of wanting what you truly need. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to want the things that we need. You say, now, wait a minute. I need food. I got no problem wanting that, right? Yeah, but now there's another element there. You also need self-control. And most of us don't want self-control. I want that extra donut, even though I've already had two. Well, self-control is a need as well. And we are much better off to want the things we need instead of feeling we need the things we only want. So meeting temporal needs is necessary. It's necessary for your physical well-being. It's also necessary for your mental well-being. Meeting your spiritual needs is necessary for your spiritual well-being. Amen? And the Bible meets that need. And the more you chase after the thing God provides for you, I'm telling you, the more you'll want them. And like Pastor Paul and Pastor Keim said, boy, you just can't keep it in when God's truth is something you really want. Father, we just thank you for the humble Apostle Paul and the service of Pastor Timothy en route to get his cloak and his scriptures. The Apostle Paul may be warm and well-fed by your truths. Father, give us just a heart to chase after your word, since it is so easily attainable. May we be thankful for the ease of holding on to the complete Bible, but may we also be diligent about studying this wonderful, truly wonderful word that we call the Word of God, your Holy Scriptures. Give us a heart for that. In Jesus' name, amen.